As Russia's attacks on Ukraine intensify, focus in Europe turns to how to help Ukrainians survive the winter. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Global leaders are gathered in Berlin today with a goal of providing massive economic assistance to Ukraine. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz opened the conference by saying his country's own history showed it's possible to rebuild after a devastating war. His idea for reconstruction in Ukraine uses America's Marshall Plan as a blueprint. In 1948, that plan helped West Germany get back on its feet after World War II. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky took part in the discussion today by video link. He said his nation has developed a plan for reconstruction, but with more than a third of his country's energy sector destroyed now, he's asking for help covering a deficit of nearly $40 billion, not tomorrow, not next year, but now. From Berlin, the BBC's Damian McGuinness explains how Chancellor Scholz sees the plan coming to fruition.
The first priority is the emergency help right now. The EU would supply certain amounts of heating systems, measures of keeping electricity running, generators, quite basic stuff. And I think that's the first thing we're looking at when it comes to infrastructure support. And that also means rebuilding hospitals, rebuilding schools, rebuilding roads. And then the next step is inspiring investment from business and from international organisations. And what EU leaders say is this has to be hand in hand with anti-corruption measures.
How likely is it that nations will commit large sums to projects like this when the war is still ongoing? So ultimately, the final tally, I suppose, for the damage is still unknown.
When you look at something like the Marshall Plan, planning on that already began in 1942, 3 years before the war ended. And then it was ready to go after when the war finished, because you're talking about such huge sums of money, hundreds of billions of dollars, and lots of different international and national actors. And to coordinate all that, to make it transparent, to make it actually function, is not an easy task.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness for us in Berlin. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, demand for British government bonds is continuing to rise today as Rishi Sunak prepares to take over as prime minister. Elsewhere, the Japanese yen is holding steady against the strong U.S. dollar. Reuters estimates today the government spent $6 billion yesterday to stabilize a plunge in the value of the currency. A new ban comes into effect today for Russian citizens wanting to travel to the Czech Republic for tourism, culture and sport. The BBC's Rob Cameron has more on that story from Prague.
Russian was once a common sound in the streets, cafes and pubs of Prague's old town. But since February, the flow of Russian visitors has slowed to a trickle. There have been no direct flights from Russia for months, and the Czechs no longer process Russian tourist visa requests. But the Foreign Ministry says around 200 Russians holding Schengen visas issued by other EU states have been arriving at Prague airport each day. That legal loophole has now been closed as the Czech Republic follows in the footsteps of the Baltic states, Finland and Poland. The move does not affect the 30,000 or so Russians living here legally as students, workers or business people. Neither does it disqualify Russians from seeking political asylum in the country.
That's the BBC's Rob Cameron reporting from Prague there. To the Dutch city of Almere now, where the world's biggest flower show is held just once a decade. But this year, the Floriada failed to blossom. The BBC's Anne Holligan has more on that story.
There are more wasps than visitors swarming round India's floral extravaganza. Floriada's forecast was for 2 million guests. Ultimately, not even half that number came. So can those behind the scenes find any positives in this once-in-a-decade event?
I'm Judith van der Poel, and we designed part of the main structure of the Floriade. It has really a lot of experimental and also valuable showcases of bio-based materials. It's also important to show the people what they can do in their own lives to improve the climate and growing green cities and create a comfortable microclimate in the city.
Floriada is about nations sharing their innovations.
My name is Björn Bieringer. I'm the assistant to the directors here in the German garden. It is a huge construction made of wood. So this is the entrance area of the green city. We don't use normal soil. We have vulcan stones from the volcano. And because they are much better to store water. and to keep the humidity for the plants. On the other side, we have sponge cities. And there you can see how cities could save water when they are built in a specific way to store the water from rainfalls.
But at a time when the Dutch are tightening their belts, spending is under scrutiny. And there's been considerable focus on the fact Floriade has gone over budget for the fourth decade running. Judith points out there are other glimmers of a longer-term payoff.
We have the whole green infrastructure, we have all the knowledge, all the tests. For example, there's a lot of tests with bio-based bridges. Yeah, they say in Amsterdam they have to rebuild 40,000 bridges. So it's also important here they do a lot of tests. Yeah, so how these bio-based materials can be used. So I think that's very valuable. You cannot get the money back immediately, but it's research that normally otherwise wouldn't have been done.
While this optimism might not have been reflected in the turnout, a new Hortus district should eventually arise from this fertile ground. Although there's still debate over the cost and when construction can actually start.
That's the BBC's Anna Hulligan reporting from Almere there. Finally, Bloomberg is reporting this morning that Adidas is planning to end its partnership with Kanye West. The brand has been under mounting pressure to do so after the rapper's recent string of anti-Semitic behavior. For now in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.